One antidote to student debt is saving. Well, how's that going? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the World Trade Organization has a new forecast that global cross-border commerce will still go up this year, but that increase will be at its most enfeebled pace since the great financial crisis. Let's consult David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. So if that forecast is right, trade will be up 1.2% this year. That's the trade war at work, but not only.
I think the real problem is that when you have a lot of uncertainty about tariffs and tariffs rising, everybody just sort of freezes in place. And that's affecting global investment spending. So not only are we seeing a decline in world trade, but we're also seeing a much slower investment spending pattern around the world. And that's very negative. It hurts the economy in the short run because you don't have enough demand. But it actually also hurts the economy in the long run because it inhibits productivity. So this really is a sort of a canary in the coal mine, seeing this decline or this very slow growth in world trade.
A couple months ago, people listening in the United States who are paying attention might say something like, well, American consumers will power us through, even if the world is facing some of these headwinds. But we're not quite so sure that dynamic will stay with us.
Yeah, I think consumers are very brave. I think America has the bravest consumers in the world, and it takes a lot to rattle them. The problem really is that I think recessions or downturns really start in the business sector. And what happens is businesses get uncertain, and then they hesitate to hire. So they don't just cut back in capital spending. They put in hiring freezes. That slows down employment growth, and you really can't spend if you don't have a job. So even though I think consumers look strong right now, I think there's a big threat to the U.S. economy and to the global economy from this slowdown in trade.
Always good to talk to David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you for this.
Anytime.
But then there's the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, Charles Evans, who said in Europe this morning he expects U.S. interest rates to go up just slightly in the next few years as the economy grows and inflation accelerates. Here's a number, $1.6 trillion. That might be the GDP of some small industrialized country or something, but no, it's the total amount of outstanding student loan debt in America. This is one focus of Marketplace's new personal finance reporter, Samantha Fields, paying for college. You can borrow or you can save in advance, so the borrowing is a bit less onerous. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, David.
So where are we now in 2019 with this? Are we saving for college?
Yeah, it turns out about 60% of parents are saving for college, at least according to a report that Sallie Mae does called How America Saves for College. And when I talk to parents, the majority of people are saving at least something for college. Of the five families that I talked to for a while, three say they are saving something for college. Two said they haven't been able to save anything at all. Even the ones who are saving say that they would like to be saving more, and that things like medical debt, credit card debt, childcare expenses often get in the way of them saving as much as they'd like to be able to put in.
We did ask a question about this in our most recent Marketplace Edison Research poll. It's a scientific survey. And about a third of the people said they're afraid they won't be able to send their offspring to college.
Yeah, they're afraid that they won't be able to afford to. And actually, of people who are 18 to 34 right now, that number is closer to 60%. And interestingly, one of the moms that I talked to, who's a single mom here in New York, she has a 9-year-old son. She's just started saving for college for him. But she says she just feels like, realistically, there's no way he's going to be able to go to college without taking out loans.
And honestly, this is kind of sad, but in this country, you just have to deal with debt. This whole, I don't want my kid to have debt, it's not really feasible, it's not really realistic.
So, I mean, people struggle. There's a difference between I am not saving for college versus I can't save for college.
The couple people I talked to who are not saving both said they think about it a lot. They've really wanted to save for their kids. They're anxious about the fact that they haven't been able to, but just life keeps getting in the way and they feel like they're constantly trying to catch up on other things and that college is just something that feels a little bit out of reach.
And I guess wages are finally beginning to tick up this late in the expansion, but this is hard stuff.
It is hard stuff. And, you know, one of the moms that I talked to, she and her husband just feel like they're still trying to recover from the Great Recession. They lost their house. They're in debt from trying to sort of stay afloat during that time. And she said she doesn't really feel like she's alone in that.
I just feel like we're living the new American dream. And some of my friends and I joke about that. Like, we're the new middle America.
She's living the American dream in quotes, deeply ironic statement. Marketplace's new personal finance reporter, Samantha Fields. Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
There's more about saving for college at our new personal finance collection called Check Your Balance at marketplace.org. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you. A resignation today at Credit Suisse, the big Swiss bank. It involves a surveillance operation with a top executive getting tailed and photographed. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Jonathan Frewen, has more.
The Swiss bank's chief operating officer, Pierre-Olivier Bouet, spearheaded a spy operation targeted at the company's outgoing head of wealth management, Iqbal Khan, who was suspected of attempting to lure employees and clients to rival bank UBS, where he was set to begin work this week. The bank today accepted Mr. Bouet's resignation after its board of directors found the operation's mandate was wrong and disproportionate and resulted in severe reputational damage to the company. The head of global security services at Credit Suisse also resigned. The incident has raised questions about the judgment of Credit Suisse's chief executive, who reportedly had a rocky relationship with Mr. Khan that stemmed from disputes over their homes in a wealthy Zurich suburb. Still, the investigation by the bank's board of directors found the chief executive did not approve and was not aware of the surveillance operation, and that the chief operating officer acted alone to protect the bank's interests. Credit Suisse today appointed the chief financial officer of its US subsidiaries to take over as COO. I'm the BBC's Jonathan Frewen for Marketplace.
That story took a darker turn when it was revealed yesterday that an intermediary who had hired the person to carry out the surveillance took his own life last week. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.